Father, thank you for your love for us in Jesus. Thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for your grace and the wonderful opportunity that we have as parents to join with you in a goal of influencing soon-to-be men and women for your kingdom and to make you known. I do pray that you would help us as we embark on this course over the next 15 weeks to grow and to be encouraged and to be equipped. I pray that your Spirit would facilitate your word to us. And Lord, we need you. We greatly need you in the role of parenting. So I just ask that you would minister to us and help us to minister to our children. We know that you are at work in our own hearts and lives, and there's so much you want to do in us as well as parents. So be glorified both in our time of looking at this study, but also in all the years in the future that we have toward this end. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have, if you want a copy, we're going to actually be using a curriculum called Parenting for Life, a Biblical Guide for Shepherding Your Family. It's put out by some pastors from Grace Community Church. It was put out years ago. But so there's a teacher version and a student version of this. And so if you want a copy of this, I guess, if you want a copy of this, just let me know, because I'm going to make an order tomorrow. There's some, and I've been in contact down there with one of the secretaries who says is concurring that there's a PDF format, so I don't know, but it's $14.78 if you buy the little booklet, and so it's a workbook that you can work through there with that. So just let me know. I've already got a list of people. That's what the email said. I've already got a list of people who said they want a copy of it, and I'll be getting that order tomorrow. It should be here by next Sunday. So we're going to look at I'm going to do something else this morning, and at the end I'm going to give just a little bit of an overview of where that's going to take us as the curriculum itself. And so I'm really excited about it. I've been working through it and have been watching some video series on the teaching component of it as well. But what I want to do this morning is we're going to look just a little bit at Psalm 127. Not yet, so you get a little bit of time. But one of the things I want to do each week, hopefully, and obviously I won't make it all 15 weeks because I don't have that many resources, but is to highlight a book on parenting that I believe would be helpful for you. And then also to give a caveat for books. Books are only authoritatively helpful so far as they're either giving instruction on Scripture or using biblical principles. And hopefully if an author is worth his or her salt, then they're honest when they're just saying, hey, this is practical experience type stuff. But this morning, I just wanted to... This is a classic. I know Steve said that they did this here at Cal Creek, what, a number of years back or whatever? Yeah, so Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. Got it wrong. There's Paul Tripp, Ted Tripp. I always forget who's written which book. But anyway, Ted Tripp wrote this one. And I probably read this twice, at least years ago I did, early on when we were... trying to figure out parenting and all that stuff, just like everybody else is. We're still trying to figure it out. But it's a really good book, and obviously the title, Shepherding a Child's Heart, the goal of parenting, is ultimately got to be heart-oriented. It has many components to it, but the hearts are what we're after. Highly recommend this as something that... All of these resources are stuff that help help us to think through our parenting, because it's very easy, and this is some of the stuff we'll look at in our curriculum. It's very easy for us to get off in our parenting for all kinds of reasons. Flesh, expediency, sin, bad habits, worldly influences, all kinds of stuff that can come into. So I just think that I always tell people biblical manhood. I'm always interested in reading a really good book on biblical manhood. I never feel like I have it wired, and I'm always needing to be challenged in how I'm doing in that. Same thing is true with parenting. So hopefully that would be an encouragement to you. We actually have this in the bookstore. I don't know how many copies, one or two, something like that. But if you want a copy, it's an excellent resource. Like I said, Steve said they taught it here at Calgary. He taught it, actually. Did you go through it, Steve? Years ago. More than once? Yeah. I'll see. Steve ought to be teaching this class. You want to step up here, brother? Oh, me. I am excited, though. So just keep that in mind, though, about books, because I think early on in our parenting, we would gravitate to books and say, oh, wow, this is it. This is the silver bullet, man. This is it. If I could just do this, you know. And that might have worked. Even this one. We thought this was the silver bullet. You know, back in 2004, 2005, we had two children. Then we had a few more. And we realized, oh, there's more than a few cookies that can come out of the basket. And so not everything comes out from these people who've had one or two children and elucidate on it. But anyway, there's a lot of good resources in that book as well. As a matter of fact, the first parenting curriculum that we wet our teeth on, I would not recommend to you. But we really, you know, even though we were counseled well from Grace Community Church about some of the dangers within it, but nonetheless, we, you know, looking back on it a little few years later, we were like, ah, yeah, boy, some of that stuff, so all that to say is really make sure you sort through what does the Word of God actually teach, and if it's not from Scripture, maybe it's a good idea, maybe it's not, but take it as that. Okay, let's just be the encouragement for that. Again, I just remember what specifically when we got to child number 4, then 5, 6, you know, on down it goes. You realize, wow, there's just so many varieties of these critters, right? Right, Tom? Right, McLaughlin? There's a few varieties out there. Anyway, what I really hope to do well through this series is to work through the biblical components that are so necessary for the foundation of parenting. And that is it. We think about God has given us resources in His Word that are our foundation. And the structure you put on top of it is only as good as the foundation is, right? So I am continually, you know, at this stage in the game, continually going back, what are my foundations that have been eroding? Right? Because that's what happens. Life goes on, you change gears, your focus changes, you're thinking about older kids, and you look back and go, oh yeah, I got to be doing that with the younger kids. Right? And so the foundations are extremely important. God's provided those in His Word. Then I also want to make sure that we've broadened it out far enough to form a base of biblical wisdom and principles from the Word that will shape how we parent in a skillful way. So when we think about the word wisdom in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is living life in a skillful manner. And so the reason the Proverbs are so expansive, so much of them, is to create a large enough base for us that in any given circumstances we have resources to draw from to interact with. For example, the tongue has 70-something verses in the book of Proverbs. Well, it's not all one-dimensional regarding the tongue. There's a lot of different nuances that are in the book of Proverbs on the tongue. So that with all of those brought into it, we can interact in different situations. For example, like the fool. The scripture of Proverbs speaks about how to interact with the fool. One verse, it says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly," right? Lest you be like him. Then the very next verse says, "Answer the fool according to his folly as it deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes." And so it takes wisdom how to interact with that. And by the way, I have classic examples in my household all the time about, should I answer this fool? Or should I let this one go? So, and then sometimes I end up being the fool because I answer him just like his foolishness. Or her foolishness. Most times it's the his, but... and then all the way through to have an attitude of fervent, prayerful dependence on the Lord to work in and through our homes and parenting. If we pluck that out, we are at a great disadvantage. So to be prayerful. And God knows how to make us prayerful. He does. If we get proud and think we could just put all these plugs in there, and then all of a sudden that one child doesn't look like the silly formula is supposed to make it come out. And God knows how to drive us to our knees to get us to depend on Him. Say, "Lord, I don't know. You don't help me in this one. It's all going down." And then also humility to continue. And this is so important. I find it true for myself. It's to continue to allow the Word, even those very familiar passages, and other mature believers to challenge our thinking through the years, because we can always grow in greater faithfulness. And that's really one of the words that I want to emphasize all throughout what we look at, is faithful. This is what we're going to be shooting toward, being faithful. Because we can't guarantee the end product, right? But this is our responsibility right here, faithfulness. And we can either do this or not do that by God's grace, or in our own flesh, leave it. So what I want to do now is just to take a look at Psalm 127. And I really enjoy and appreciate the analogy that is given here, because I think the picture is so broad for us to help us to think through, what are we doing as parents? What are we doing? So Psalm 127, it says, a song of ascent, so going up to Jerusalem, of Solomon. Solomon is the author, and this is what he said. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Right? So there's a perfect checkpoint to our human striving. Unless the Spirit of God does something, it's all vain. So that would be something to think through. Do we have that as our understanding? Is this our mindset? So this is a spiritual endeavor. If God does not work, it's all in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So there's a picture of a guy up on the wall. He's the watchman, and he's to be diligent. He's to be alert. But unless the Lord watches over the city, it doesn't matter. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Now think about that. You go work, 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 work. Try to cover all of your loose ends. But it's in vain if the Lord is not behind it. For He gives to His beloved rest or sleep. Now notice the way Solomon turns this. Behold, which is to focus our attention down on what he wants to talk about. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So what I want to focus on this morning really is how I've come to look at my role as a parent, is a shaper of arrows. Shaping arrows. Verse 3, Solomon says, they are an inheritance and they are a reward. We think about our children. They are. Now, as parents, be honest, here in America, what are we tempted to think is an inheritance or a reward? So, okay, let's extract out parents, just as men and women in America. What are we tempted to think is an inheritance or a reward?
Money.
Money. That's right. Big time. Right?
Money and stuff.
Stuff. Getting stuff.
Enhancing your lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, so as we progress through the years, we want it to look a certain way as we move along. And that's a reward or an inheritance. What else?
Something was given to us. We didn't have it before.
Okay, something that has been gifted to us. Trisha, you look like you were just like jumping at the bit to say something.
Sometimes I feel like we think we've earned it, the reward. Like, I worked hard, so I deserve it.
Okay.
Retirement or whatever.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah, we could have that as a goal even, right? Don't waste your life. Go read the book. Anything else you think about? Maybe status? Maybe a certain career, honor from whoever we want to honor us, or whatever, right? It could be all kinds of things. Fame. But here, Solomon says that children are a heritage, a reward, notice, from the Lord. If you have children, God chose to give you an inheritance. And so, honestly, what are we tempted at times, be honest, to think about children, not as a reward or an inheritance from the Lord? Come on!
Punishment.
Yes. In my weakest moments, I've had that thought come through my head. What else?
A hindrance to the reward you're looking for?
Yes.
If only I didn't have these kids, I could end up at 50 in Malibu.
Yes. I have thought those thoughts. I have thought. Maybe not that last one. What did you say? At 50 and what? Malibu. Don't care about Malibu. But anyway, maybe somewhere else. Yeah, exactly. I've thought that at times. The Lord has corrected me, but at times I have. I've expressed it to my wife. What else?
A hindrance.
Yes, a hindrance. At any given moment on any given day. We can think like that. Listen to that little baby. How can you think that's a burden?
A burden.
Yeah, a burden, right? Well, now there's that. Right. But what does Scripture say here? And this is what needs to screw our heads on straight. Children, if you have them, if you don't have them, right, that's a different category. But if God has placed them in your lives, they are an inheritance, a heritage, a reward. So that has in mind the idea of stewardship. They are a direct gift from God. He has entrusted them to us. Imagine that. We had I know the biology behind it, but we had absolutely nothing to do with the gift of a child. None. Zero. God sovereignly said, let life be there. And He gave them to us. However many we have, that is His gift to us. He has entrusted us with a stewardship. He placed them there. And the idea behind this is that there is reward if we understand stewardship. Right? Now, we go to the New Testament. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Right? So, like with any stewardship, Jeremy taught on this a couple of times back on stewardships. And obviously, I wasn't in the class, but I'm sure that he touched on the fact that we're to be faithful with these stewardships that God gives us. And here we have a stewardship that is not a week or two. This is a, and this is part of what we want to emphasize, this is a lifelong stewardship. A you know, very intense period, and then, you know, there's something to take place afterwards where we'd still be seeing it as a stewardship, but not anywhere near the same level. But they are a gift and a stewardship to be managed and, yes, enjoyed. Managed, we would need to be careful how we define that, in the sense that we're given a responsibility to oversee the development of this gift. Jesus talked about this in his talents illustration, where he said, I gave you this, what did you do with it? Well, this is what I did with it. Well done, good and faithful servant. I did gave you this, and this is what I did with it. Oh, you didn't do anything with it. You stuck it in a hole in the ground. Well, I didn't want it to, you know, be messed up, so I just kind of closed it in, put fences all around it, and out plopped what? A disaster. So, we understand that they're to be managed, but as a stewardship or a gift, it can be squandered or developed. Right? Anything. If you have a talent, we all knew growing up, maybe high school years, people who stood out as athletes or stood out as whatever. And you think, wow, that person is so talented, just raw talent. And watch them at times just squander through whatever life choices they made, right? And you go, what a waste, what a sad waste. And then other people who, with different circumstances or whatever, developed that talent, and now we can look into see a life of how that was developed and used well. So any stewardship can be squandered or developed, and God has given us stewardship of children. And we can squander those, or by God's grace, be seeking to develop them. Now notice what they're compared to, and this is where I think the analogy is so unique. This is how we should view them. They are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are, and he gets specific again, the children of one's youth. So a question to ask you, do you view your child as an arrow? And I'm like, what am I going to do with an arrow? Well, in the sense of what would be involved with a good arrow. What's that?
Sharpening.
Yes. So I want to look at this for this metaphor here that is described, but keeping in mind that an arrow has a release point when it will be sent to accomplish a mission. So if we don't have that in mind from the very get-go, we're going to have struggles. I've seen this personally, growing up. I've seen it in the lives of others who did not understand the release point. And that creates tension. Because at some point, the arrow is going to say, I want to be sent. And if the parents don't have that as a foundation, they're going to say, I don't want to send you. That's a big, big struggle. And then if they do launch out, which they should, they can go all awry just from the simple point of fact that the arrow was not developed. So that point of releasing is not at birth, obviously, but it's sometime much later. But sending an arrow from the string of a bow is the goal. So when Lori and I started out, this one we did have advantageously for us in thinking through that when Isaiah was born, we were thinking, Lord, help us to raise this child to be a young man, a man used for your glory. A man. God, and I've told all my kids over and over again, God did not put you on this planet to be a boy or a girl. That's where you are right now, and that's a season. But God put you on this planet to grow up and to be a man or a woman. And so it's about maturing them. And Genesis 2:24 describes very clearly what is the normal goal. Now, I know there's some exceptions, and biblically so, and then obviously in our world that's the way it works out. But the normal goal, according to Genesis 2:24, is, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's the normal pattern of humanity going forward from the creation. And marriage and children, in thinking about that, getting married and having children, that's just the normal process. Again, we understand there are exceptions and singleness that's involved there, but it presupposes mature manhood and mature womanhood, right? That's so when we think about shaping an arrow, that's got to be the understanding. So wherever, but when we think about that, wherever and whatever their task, mature men and women. That's got to be the goal. Obviously, we don't have the control of the outcome of marriage and that kind of stuff, and we don't know those details, but that would still be the goal. And then ultimately, our desire, that we got to be honest about this, as believers, this would be our desire. Although we don't have control over the outcome, our desire would be for our children to know and love God through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But only the Spirit of God can bring this about, right? We keep our theology on straight. We understand that the Spirit of God alone ignites repentance and faith in the heart of a child. But nonetheless, that is our desire. But since we cannot guarantee that as an outcome, that can't be our ultimate goal in the sense of all of our parenting will only reach its intended goal if that happens, because we know that some children do not follow the Lord. But we can be faithful. And that's what I want to highlight as we work through this. But with that in mind, parents are the primary instruments that God uses to prepare children to receive God's word through the ministry of the local church. Obviously, the local church is where all the boiling out of ministry takes place. But the primary instrument for children is still parents. That's what we see in Scripture. So there can be any number of influences on children, but God has designed that parents are to have the primary influence on them. So that is to say, in context here, we as parents are the primary shapers of arrows. Now, who here knows anything about bow hunting? Okay, we got a couple. Any favorite knows about bow hunting? All right. So there are some components about an arrow that are unique. And Solomon, obviously, the arrow was the advanced weapon in 3,000 years ago, one of the advanced weapons of an archer as a warrior. And so he draws on this analogy, and he says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Now, when you think about an arrow, who can help me out here? There are four primary components to an arrow. Not real complicated. But what are those four primary components?
Shaft.
The shaft. The stick.
The knock.
Knock.
And where you put it into the spring.
Got it, yeah. What else?
The tip.
The point, is that what you're talking about? The tip, yeah.
And the fletching.
That's right, the fletching. All right, those are the four components. And so, if you think about that, now, even if you're not an archer, if you were to think about it, if you say, yeah, I think I want to become an archer, and so you go out and you go get a tree limb about like yay, you know, and you put a little notch in there and you pull it back and you say, I think I'm going to hit that, you know, 40 yards away. Probably doesn't work too well, right? And you learn really quickly that, okay, there's got to be some kind of craft into developing an arrow to where it will actually go where you want it to go. And so, again, I love this analogy, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Again, if the goal is to have a release point, and that's not a birth, so I've got time to invest in developing this arrow. And to the extent that I'm faithful with that time, it's got to have some kind of coordination with the shape of the arrow before the release point, right? So if I just neglect or I abuse the arrow, I cannot expect much at the release point. Actually, a lot of harm is what I should be able to expect with either one of those perspectives. And so part of what, in just looking at this analogy, is that I want to be investing over the long haul. I remember when we were down at Community Bible Church, actually before we went down there, and Brian Sheely and his wife, Myra, they had eight children. And I don't know how many we had at the time, but Lori was talking with Myra, and she just said, Lori, you've got to look at this for the long haul. And that really is the key, is that we got to look at 18 years of investment, of intense investment, right? Not that you're done investing at that. So I'm in 16 and got another 18 to go. Yay. No, I really enjoy. I got to be careful with that, because I really enjoy I haven't always, but I really enjoy our parenting role. But when you think about it, I've just put some thoughts down here, and actually I looked through some stuff by Dennis and Barbara Rainey, who put, I don't know if you guys have read this or not, but they drew an analogy from this. From, I think it's a helpful way to think through this in the parallel of crafting an arrow to training our children. So this is another word that we're going to look at a lot in regards to parenting, is the idea of training. This is a biblical word through and through. We see it in discipleship. We see it in Hebrews chapter 12 within the context of a father and children. And the word there is used as discipline. But the broadness of it would be training. And the idea there is that the Father, God Himself, trains us, right? We become believers, and then God spends our lives training us, shaping us. And what is the goal of, for believers, of God training us? Yes, glorify God. In what way specifically? Become more like Christ, right? Romans 8:29, so that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. the likeness of Christ. That is the goal. And so Hebrews 12 talks about this training that we may share in His holiness. Right? So that's the idea there. And that doesn't stop for believers. God is always pruning and working on us to train us toward. So it's a very biblical metaphor. But in training, in this context, the idea is of shaping an arrow, again, for a release point, a launch point. And so this is, when you think about the shaft is that which gives shape to an arrow, its form. And we use the expression, straight as an arrow, right? That's the idea behind an arrow. Crooked arrows. Come on, Kevin. Pull a crooked arrow, you got troubles. Or a broken arrow, right? But there's a direct, there is a direction that is given by God Himself that provides rigidity and strength to the shape of children. So here we see the framework here, being that which is given by God Himself, the direction. And so Rainey centers this on the core truth of being created in the image of God. Think about that. The substance of who we are is that we are image bearers. In Genesis 1, 26, 27, we were created in God's image. All problems come from the fact that that image was marred. And so a child coming up with no understanding of what it means to be an image bearer is not going to have the rigidity that will give that child form. And so within this, this is where he unpacked this. When you think about spiritual, emotional, and sexual identity are found in how God designed humans as image bearers. Spiritual, emotional, and sexual identity. So all three of these, and so we are to shape our children in these areas according to the biblical pattern, right? I mean, that's pretty broad when you think about that. How we relate vertically, our makeup, our inner person makeup, and our sexual identity being male and female, and what that looks like, right? So that's what we were talking about from the very beginning, manhood and womanhood. Now, these two, or any of the other two, we only have one source that gives us the proper description of what this looks like. And it's pretty large. When you think about the scriptures, it's pretty large in developing all three of these components. And so if we do not train the arrow in these areas, they will be misshapen and surely will not be useful arrows. Think about that. As parents, we are to take the time, and no matter where you are, if you're starting later before you, let's just say, for example, you get serious about this, that it doesn't matter. Now is a good time to start. But if we're not thinking of shaping in these components, what does it look like to be boy? What does it look like to be male as an image bearer of God? How am I going to instruct what that looks like? What is the authority from which I will speak to form that understanding in my boys? Or a girl, how am I going to instruct? What does it look like to be a woman as an image bearer of God? Do I have enough resources to where I can constantly be investing in this level, in these areas, on these three categories? What does it look like? Now, if our culture is our informant here, they are going to be misshapen. Because the culture has no clue of what it means to be an image bearer of God. That's what they don't want. They don't want the image of God being born out in humanity. So that should be a checkpoint for us. Second of all, the feathers or the fletching. Rainey describes this as the character of a child. I'm just going to read a quote from him. From Genesis to Revelation, character development is a major theme of God's work in people. And it's one of the major assignments God gives us as parents. Character is how your child responds to authority and life's circumstances. That's so critical. Character is how your child responds to authority and life's circumstances. It is response ability, the ability to respond well. And it comes as a result of training our children to submit to God and His Word. That's critical. Think about character And I mean, honestly, how many opportunities are there for us to weigh in an appropriate manner on character development? And that could be in a lot of different circumstances, right? And then, of course, we're reflecting on my character development along the way. Then the notch. What do you call it? The knock?
Knock.
Spell that for me. Knock. K-N-O-C-K or N-O-C-K? N-O-C-K. Man, you guys are just creating new vocabulary for me. So the place where the arrow sits on the string of a bow. All the transfer of power comes from that spot right there. You can have all the power of the bow, but it can't be transferred without that part being developed well. So Rainey compares this as the proper development in the ability to interact in relationships. And his point was simply that God has uniquely made us to be relational, and the relationships we develop with God and others provide power to our lives. All right, isolated individuals, no bueno, right? It's not good. And the scripture speaks to that as well. As a matter of fact, we see in our society what happens with males who live very isolated lives in those teenage years, and sometimes some very freaky things show up, right? And go, oh, the person was always a loner, always kept to himself. And so God has provided within the family structure, Randy calls it the university of family, primary opportunity to influence the shaping of children in regard to relationships. So in relationships this way, in relationships that way, and in relationships with others. And so we just have countless opportunities to interact at this level and to help shape them. Because consider the power of marriage. Healthy marriages are so powerful. I am so much better being married to her. You can laugh a little bit. Maybe you don't know who I was used to, but no, it was pretty bad. And so she has really helped me a lot. But on the flip side of that, think about that. We know this to be true. Marriages can be a source of great pain as well. Or family. Family can enhance, and you can have so much more power as a unit, but they can also be a place of great pain. Or the church. Or community itself. So relationships do have the potential for great power. But then finally, the point. The point is the business end of the arrow, right? A sharp arrow is a very useful tool in the hand of a warrior, and that had to be developed as well. So in the Native American culture, you can still go to places all over Shasta County and find arrowheads that were crafted, handcrafted from flint rock and stuff. But Rainey compared this to helping a child find their mission in life, a driving passion. And this can be obviously greatly abused, because our children will have a driving passion. And a lot of that's going to be picked up from us. But what will that driving passion be? Right? I always tell parents who have a low view of church, and that's through the years and caught up in all kinds of other things, maybe nothing wrong with it, but in the end, as you hit the release point, guess what view they're going to have as they go out? They will have learned our view of church, local church, missions, whatever, holiness, you name it. They'll have our view, because we will pass that down to them. And at the end, we may say, you know, really what you ought to do is, and they'll go, well, you taught me this all your life. So that's the one I'm going to go by, right? Rainey said, we need to ask ourselves, have I more passion for the values of this world, of this world's system, than for the things of God? What are my goals in life? Are they ones I want my child to copy? Every child should be helped to understand that life is a dynamic relationship with God that overflows in love to other people, a love that the Holy Spirit uses to reconcile the lost to God. Everything else, as good or innocuous as it may be, is only a prop to facilitating this mission. So he leaves room in there. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we're going to do in life. We may have hobbies, we may have sports, we may have games, we can have traditions in our family. There can be a lot of things. But what are our children going to learn from how we interact with those things? Will they learn that that is the driving passion of life? Or will they learn that those are just good gifts the Lord has given us? We can take it or leave it. But the driving passion is Christ and His mission. So the desire, obviously, of each of us would be that when the time comes to the release the arrow, the children will be ready to hit the bullseye, right? We understand that would be the desire. But in the end, we also know that we can't guarantee this. In other words, we can't just plug in a formula. If I dot all the I's and cross all the T's, bingo, it'll just happen. But we want to be faithful, to be used by God to shape or train the arrow. That's kind of the sweet spot. Lord, help me to be faithful to use the resources to create a tool, an arrow, so that the release point, they will be ready. Lord, help me to be faithful. That's what I'm always asking myself and recorrecting myself, because I get off. Maybe once a week or once a day I get off, or maybe multiple times. And it's this coming back. Lord, help me to be faithful to the task that you have given. And that's what we want to look at in this class. But for whatever, let it not be that the reason our children are not shaped well for the task of life is simply because we failed to be useful, or we failed to be faithful to use or to believe the resources God has given us. That's what we're going to look at, is the resource. We're going to try to look at the biblical resources that God has given us. But let it not be that our children are not prepared because we failed to be faithful to use those resources or to believe them. Right? Because we're tempted. This does not... This is what God has given us. It requires interacting by faith. If God's Word has said it, we have to just trust that this is the resource that we're to be faithful with. So again, this is not a class that's the magic bullet to parenting. Rather, it's to equip us, to strengthen us, to reorient us, to correct us, to encourage us, so that we can grow in faithfulness and leaving the ultimate results in His hands. So let me just, what I want to do is, and again, if you want a copy of it, you can, the email I'd sent out was that if you don't buy a copy of this, you're welcome to come to the class. There'll be plenty to glean from it, so don't feel like if I don't buy it. Of course, again, I'm going to look into a PDF thing, and then I'll just print it off for everybody. But give me your... If you want one or two, give me your name afterwards and I'll make an order for it. What I want to do is kind of walk through... where we're going to go with this over the next few weeks. And I want to be honest with you, I'm right smack dab in the middle of this. I'm not on the other side by any stretch. I will be under the scrutiny of this as I've been working through it myself. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see I really need to adjust there. I need to make some changes here. I need to be, oh, yeah, I needed that reminder. Or, boy, I just hadn't really thought through that very well. And so I'm right in the middle of it. I need this as much as anybody. Right now I have a newborn, I have a 2-year-old, and I have a 4-year-old. So I'm in the very early stages. Of course, on the other side of that, I have a 13, a 14, a 16-year-old, and then I got the middle ones too. But nonetheless, all I say is I'm right here with anybody, unless your children are all grown. Someday I'll get there. But I need to be encouraged, I need to be reminded, I need to be reoriented just as much as anybody. So let me just walk through where we're going to go with this. The first thing we're going to look at is the parents' priorities, and these are our commitments. So we're going to start with us. That's where parenting starts, is with us. Because inevitably, our children are looking at us. Talk about discipleship. This is the most... you have the greatest opportunity to influence for discipleship in your home of anything, by far, by the sheer volume of time, by the God-ordained means that He's put in place by you having the authority, and by the fact that part of a discipleship is our modeling, right? I mean, our kids look at us. I remember one of my boys years ago, he was just so angry at stuff, and he'd got a lot of issues of his own, but he asked, I said, "Why are you?" And he goes, "Why are you?" And I went, yeah, that's right. You learned that one from me. That's good. That's wonderful. Don't you love it when that happens? You get done with it and you go, boy, that just looks exactly the way I respond at times. So our commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's number... I mean, not that I understand, even when you think about stewardships, there's a kind of a volleying going on, but in our priority of our vertical relationship under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which has to be number one, with everything that that word entails, lordship, submitting to His authority. And then our commitment to our spouse. If it's bad like this, the kids, they spot that so much. And if we as husband and wife cannot deal in a healthy way with conflict or whatever, if we can't model for them, that is a great way to exasperate children. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. That's a really good way to exasperate them. So we need to deal with it at this level. I mean, Lori and I, when we struggle at times, I go, Lord, help me. This is, you know, we have to make that such a serious issue that we're going to deal with it until we're at health. And then our commitment to our family, our commitment to other relationships. But then we're also going to look at the parents' goal. What is the goal? And it has to be based on God's view of man. So we're going to look at the foundational understanding of how God views humans. So critical. If we don't understand God's evaluation of humans, how can we bring His perspective into what they need? Right? As cute as she is, that little girl, and I got one of those. You look at them. Cute. She's so sweet, you know, and you just kiss on them like crazy, and then a few months later they're saying no. Right? And they're just saying no again. And so what is God's view of humans and children? And then also the parents' goal has to be based on God's directions to parents. So there is a biblical mandate for parents. What does that look like? A mandate is a divine directive. We don't have wiggle room on it. This is a mandate. Thus says the Lord. And so we have to live up under that. We need to have enough scripture that relates to parenting to where we will, I am constrained by the authority of God Almighty. I cannot move from this. And no one can deter me from this. Right? We have to be gripped to that extent. For example, the apostles were told, you cannot preach in the name of Jesus. No, we have been put on a divine mandate. We cannot do otherwise. We have to do this. And so there are directives that God has given us that we're going to have to hold to no matter what the culture does. Humbly but firmly, trusting that God's word is good. And then we're going to look at what are some of the challenges that we face as parents in carrying out the mandate. Because that could come from anywhere. It might have come from the world. It may just come from within, right? It could come relationally between husband and wife. It could come from children. So we want to have the right motivation, the right focus, and the right balance in carrying out the mandate. And that's something that we can all always be growing in. And then we want to look at the parents' roles. So as parents, so where we start with parents and their priorities and having the right goals in mind. If we get off on these two, how can we move to parenting? And then looking at the roles, though, training, again, is our word. Training through correction. That's one of our roles, training through correction. And so we're going to spend quite a bit of time on that. And then training through instruction. So our roles as giving correction. Hey, children and arrows don't start off voila, ready to go. They have to be trained and trained and retrained and retrained and retrained. And when I get frustrated, my wife says, honey, we're going to do this another 1,000 times. That's just part of it. What did you ever get? You should have got it. Well, it doesn't work that way. You got to, long haul, faithfulness, and maybe in 10 years they'll get it. So, but then instruction as well. And Scripture speaks to both of these aspects. And if you decide, I like this one but not that one, that's not an option for us. It can't be either or, but rather both. And Lord, help me to be faithful in both of these roles. So we're going to spend a lot of time on those. Those two categories, parenting as correcting and instruction, will take up a lot of our time that we're going to look at. But then also the parent as encourager. That's probably the area I need to grow in the most, to be honest, is as an encourager along the way. I need to work on that. I have to be intentional with it. And so I'm just being honest about that. But then also our role as an evangelist and our role as a prayer warrior. So the gospel with words and then the gospel with spirit power. You think about that. Do you see yourself as an evangelist, if nowhere else in your home? And then are you praying fervently? So we're going to look at that, what it means to be a prayer warrior for our children. Again, if we don't include that aspect, God has ways of just kind of rubbing our face down on the floor until we get it. Hey, you need to depend on me. This is not all in your mind and your formulas, but rather you're going to have to depend on me. Cry out to me for help. And then finally, the parent's reward. It's interesting, but I didn't know this going into it. I mean, it's one thing when you get married, you realize that that's an area to grow in your own sanctification, when you realize what it's like to live with another person, which my wife's very easy to live with. But when she is, really. But when, and children, you just realize, man, I had no idea how much sin I had in me. But it just keeps getting exposed. And obviously, the more children you have, the more opportunities you have to get exposed. And that's the times when I go, if it just weren't for this, then I could have this. And really the mirror comes back and said, no, I'm exposing who you really are. And I'm giving you an opportunity to learn to grow in these areas. You have a choice to make. You can choose to respond in irritation and anger, but that's not the cause is not them. It may just be the opportunity, but the cause is inside me. And so it's a great area to grow in sanctification. Also, in this curriculum, there are a number of appendices in here that I just think are really good. There's one on, and they're referenced throughout it, but there's one on the biblical one another's. There's a diagram on the heart, and thinking about shepherding the heart of a child and just how the heart works. I'm not talking about the pumping organ of blood, but rather the inner person and the letting that be the ultimate goal in interacting with children. There's a really helpful appendices on parenting in the Old Testament law. You can get yourself really fouled up in thinking through the Old Testament law if you don't see it properly. So there's a really good article on that, and then there's a helpful article in here, appendices on the suggestions when using the rod for discipline, and then I'm just not going to say all this. There's another really good article in here on helping with the gray areas of life, just a series of questions to work through to try to help us to navigate gray areas. And they don't come out with black and white statements. That's the whole point of a gray area, is that it's not black and white. But there's a list of just helpful questions to be asking ourselves as we're navigating this. And this can look different from family to family, but it's a good set of questions to help you navigate this in a biblical, sanctified way. And then there's another one on principles of communication. So many things break down at the communication level, right? This way, for me and my wife, or with my children. Obviously, we could take all the Proverbs and pile these into this, and the use of the tongue in this way. And I've just found that so much destructiveness in my home can happen in how I say what I'm saying. I may be right in what I'm saying, but I can just totally undermine it in how I say it. And so that's an area that obviously we can grow in. And then the character of the work ethic. There's an essay in here on irritability. Ouch! Why am I irritable right now? Why am I so frustrated? And that's a good one. And then there's one on the gospel. There's a savior. There's one in here on the conversion of Spurgeon. Really good article in there. And there's a whole list of reference books. I'm not sure how updated the version I've got here is, and I'm getting a newer copy. So, but again, one of the things I want to do is each week bring in a book that is just a recommended resource, and just try to think through biblical parenting. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that you might could observe about child development, and what this, that, and the other. And there may be some, there may be merit to that, but ultimately, the only thing that's going to be binding on us is something that's oriented in the direct instruction of Scripture. All right, we got like about 4 minutes left, and after it's over, make sure you let me know if you haven't already, and I'll write your. I have a few of you written down, and I want to get a copy of this for you. But anybody have any questions though? Where we're going with this? Shaping arrows.
Make a comment?
Yeah.
I think one of the several human events related to parenting. One is making the kids more important than the marriage. Another is thinking the kids are going to fix the marriage. Mm-hmm. Another is thinking that making sure my kids do well and will make me feel better. And I think one of the things that we constantly have to do as parents is go back to who am I with God,
right,
as an individual. And then am I reflecting obedience and submission to God as a spouse? Am I in His Word? Am I modeling what He says about respect for authority, whether it's to my spouse or to my work or whatever the case may be? Because it's so easy to say, okay, well, I need to train the kids and make it all about what's wrong with the kids and not look in there.
Mm-hmm.
And work on ourselves with the Lord and work on our marriage with the Lord. Because, frankly, historically, you can have a lousy marriage, do great parenting, and have some pretty bad outcomes. You can have a great marriage and do some lousy parenting and have some good outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually what the first section we're going to be looking at is basically those particular things that Beth just brought up there. We're going to be focusing on. And then all throughout that, we know that the outcome ultimately is not, that can't be the ultimate goal, even though it's a desire, right? The desire of walking with the Lord has to be there. But we obviously don't have the ultimate say in that. But we do have the responsibility to be faithful. But yeah, we're going to look at, those are really good things that she brought up, and that's what's going to be the focus of our first, the first go. Probably part of one, or all of one, and part of another one. Anybody else have any comments or questions?
So do you think the books will come this week and maybe next?
Yeah, they'll, whatever. I'm going to make sure it gets here by Sunday. So it's something that you interact with as we're going through it, and you can write in it and whatever, but the format.
Is this class at home? Does it have homework?
Yeah, there is some homework with it. I'm not like going to be checking you or anything like that, but it's rather for your own benefit is the homework idea behind it. So yeah. So if you miss, I mean, try to be, I understand some of you're teaching in different places, you got other ministries and stuff, and then something may come up. Try to be faithful, but if you do miss, the actual audio will be up sometime the following week. Don't take that as, I don't have to come type thing. But it is up. You can just look under, you know, the following week. Sometimes it'll be up. Sometime during the week, Isaiah puts them up on there. So, all right, I'm going to pray, and make sure you let me know if you still need a copy, and I'll put you down. Father, we thank you for your mercy to us. Lord, we ask that you help us to grow. I pray that you'd help me as a father, as a husband, to grow in faithfulness, to grow in diligence, to grow in godliness, and to grow in compassion and strength and trust in your word. And I pray that for everyone in here as well. Lord, we really want to be faithful with the stewardships you've given us, and we want to be faithful to represent you well, Lord. And we know that in our failures, we want to be quick to come to you and to confess that and confess it before our children and others. And we know that you're gracious to us. And so we ask for your Spirit's help as we launch out into this. And Lord, teach us and reveal things to us and give us courage and a greater commitment to pursue faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen.